you're doing. See store for details and minimum purchase quantities. Selection varies by store.
Welcome to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. It's 5:04 in Eastern Iowa. You're listening to us on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and all across Eastern Iowa on the historic main gym frequency of 1600 AM. You can also check out our website, kgymradio.com, where you can vote in today's poll question: who is going to wind up replacing Thad Matta as the Ohio State men's basketball coach? Poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. You can find him on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Iowa baseball coach Rick Heller will be heard from at the bottom of this hour, joining us at 5:35 today. Plus, we've got a great prize for you to give away before 7 o'clock as well, a practice round of golf, as well as a cart and some range balls to the Amana Colonies Golf Course. So be listening for your chance to win. Speaking of golf, I do not want to steal the thunder of Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, but the John Deere Classic has released the field list for this year's event in Silvis, Illinois. No surprise here, but Cedar Rapids native Zach Johnson is in the field, along with some other recognizable names, and one of those names, not Jordan Spieth. It's been a couple years since he's played. Steve Stricker is back. I know he's had tremendous success at Deer Run, which is an absolutely beautiful golf course, and I'm sure the guys will be talking more about this tomorrow on the gym class. You can check Scott and Mark out. Between 3 and 4, they too have had a prize pack to give away all week. Theirs is involving the barbecue roundup. So if you like barbecue, check out the gym class tomorrow between 3 and 4.
Tiger Woods also a no-show for the John Deere Classic.
Well,
is that low-hanging fruit?
That is low-hanging fruit, although Tiger made one of his first appearances as a pro at the old, before it was the John Deere Classic, it was the, I believe it was Hardee's was involved in the sponsorship. They used to play at another course, and the fact that I know all of this, he was either still an amateur and he was there on a sponsor's exemption, or it was one of his first pro. I think he was an amateur there on a sponsor's exemption, but
he played in the Quad Cities.
He did play in the Quad Cities back when he was very, very young, before his career exploded and before Elon chased him down the driveway with the 8-iron or whatever it was. 319-366-1600. Hank in Anamosa would like you to text things to the program that disagree with me so that we can read them on the air and prove him wrong. 366-1600. That's the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. If I sound like I'm distracted, it's because I am. I fell down a little bit of a wormhole earlier today and it got the hamster wheel spinning. And anytime I get distracted, it's usually a bad idea. Here's what I'm working on over here in the corner. There's going to be an HBO movie about the atrocities at Penn State involving Jerry Sandusky. And the movie is going to center on Penn State football coach Joe Paterno. And Al Pacino has signed on to play Joe Paterno in this biopic, which for the longest time I thought was pronounced biopic. But I understand that there's a little bit of a debate, but most people say biopic, as if it were two different words, two separate words instead of one. But neither here nor there, Pacino is going to be playing Joe Paterno in this HBO film, which I believe Bruce Levinson has signed on to direct. And so wacky sports talk radio that we are here at KGYM, I asked on Twitter earlier today if they were making a movie about the Iowa football program, who would play Kirk Ferentz? And as things sometimes do on Twitter, this got a little bit more traction than I was actually expecting. People were responding.
I would expect that people would respond to that.
And down the wormhole we go. 319-366-1600. And Ryan Stiles, are you familiar with him?
I'm not.
He's an improv comic. He's been on some TV shows before as well. I bet if I showed you his picture, you'd probably know who he is. Or you can Google him, which I think is probably what you're doing right now because I can hear the keys tapping.
Okay, yes.
Okay, I am familiar with
Ryan Stiles.
Somebody said they put him through a celebrity facial recognition generator, and Ference came back as Ryan Stiles.
No.
And then somebody did it for me, and the result was James Corden, which I said, I wish my bank account looked like James Corden. I wish a lot of things involving my career were like James Corden's, but if they were making a movie about Iowa football, who would play Kirk Ferentz? 319-366-1600, the same Iowa football team we found out earlier today will be kicking off its season at 11 a.m. against the Wyoming Cowboys.
Could Al Pacino do both? Could he do a biopic of Joe Paterno and Kirk Ferentz?
I don't see Pacino as Ferentz.
I see him as a little bit, maybe a little bit too intense, or I don't know exactly what the word is, too emotional to portray Kirk Ferentz, but I think he could do it.
Harrison Ford is getting some traction in the looks department. I could see that. I can definitely sort of see. Now, you don't necessarily have to look like somebody to play them in a movie because the late Philip Seymour Hoffman had no resemblance whatsoever to Art Howe, but he played the manager of the Oakland Athletics in Moneyball several years ago. And Billy Bean, he's an okay-looking dude. He ain't Brad Pitt.
What about Robert De Niro?
De Niro is Ferentz.
Yes. I'm not saying it's a perfect match.
I'd make De Niro Ken O'Keefe.
Okay. Well, that would probably be a better fit.
Give me the, you know, I'm looking at you doing the things with the fingers in the eyes like he does in Meet the Parents. I don't know.
Oh, 4880 on the text line also agrees with me. And then Daryl from Marion says Tommy Lee Jones.
And our friend, well, I can definitely see Tommy Lee Jones too. That's a good show. Whatever happened to him? He's not doing anything now, right? Couldn't tell you the last time I saw him in a movie that wasn't named The Fugitive, which is on all the time. And speaking of, our good friend John Bonenkamp from the Burlington Hawkeye responded to me with, and this is an inside joke among several members of the Iowa media. It's not going to be an inside joke once I say this on the air and the cat's going to be out of the bag. But for years now, we have been commenting about the resemblance between Iowa athletic director Gary Barta and former Arkansas governor Mike Huckabee.
There definitely is a resemblance now that you say that.
Yes. So the next time that you see Gary Barta, try to unsee Mike Huckabee. You can't. And vice versa.
I already can't unsee that. But here's the point. I feel like Kirk Ferentz would be a pretty easy character for some of these professional actors to pick up.
But it's more about who looks
so,
like him.
Exactly. So it's
not the
about,
mannerism.
It's not as, and that gets back to the point about De Niro, because he kind of has that persona that you're bringing up. You looking at me, that type of persona, but
that's
it's a look. It's more about lookalikes, because I think any of these actors could pick up the Kirk Ferentz persona pretty easily. Just drop a couple of that's footballs. Say we'll go from there, and you got it.
George Clooney also coming up on Twitter, as well as Dennis Quaid and Kurt Russell, and some other people who aren't taking it nearly as seriously. Look at the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. These are either really hot takes that are going to disagree with me because Hank in Anamosa says people who disagree with me don't get their texts read, or it's people suggesting who would play Ferentz in a movie. Which, by the way, I don't think that movie would necessarily set any box office records.
Yeah, what would it be about?
It's just in theory, if they were making a movie about, I don't know, Ference has to be in the movie. Look at The Blind Side. Now, those guys played themselves in the movie, if you've ever seen The Blind Side with Sandra Bullock, when it was interesting because at the time, a couple of the coaches had to be at schools they were no longer with. Nick Saban, correct?
Nick Saban was at LSU.
Was at LSU at the time Michael Orr was being recruited. So Saban, instead of being depicted as the Alabama coach, which he was at the time that the movie was made, is wearing LSU stuff in the film. Ed Orgeron is in the movie.
Houston Nutt was Houston, had to be the Arkansas coach.
Yes.
At the time. And he was
a little awkward.
That was weird. But I thought that was cool how they all played themselves. And I think there's another one that I'm forgetting. I can't. Philip Fulmer was no longer with the University of Tennessee, and that was pretty fresh after he was unceremoniously let go by the university.
4271 says Liam Neeson as Kirk Ference. Hashtag ball game. Hashtag mic drop. Isn't Liam Neeson? He's the one in Taken, right? I don't know who you are, but I will find you, and I will kill you.
I could see it. I still think I agree with Kurt Russell because that's a guy that's already played a coach. Already has the coach speak down. I know it was a hockey coach. I know it was Herb Brooks, but he has played a coach.
1048 says Tom Hanks. Nobody is better at playing the everyman than Tom Hanks. And if there were ever an everyman college football coach, it's sort of Kirk Ference. And then, of course, you've got people on the text line that are going places that I don't necessarily want to go with this. But I fell down the rabbit hole, and that's how I wound up spending a good 20 minutes today, trying to figure out who would play Kirk Ference in a movie about Iowa football, Pacino as Paterno. And this is an absolutely... I'm going to share this, and I can't remember where I saw it or who it came from. It was on Twitter, so I do remember where I saw it. But someone said it's going to be the easiest role of Pacino's life because all he has to do is sit there and look the other way.
Okay, yeah. I
don't like joking about the topic, but I no longer...
They had it coming.
I no longer respect Joe Paterno, and I want to see this movie because I think it can be interesting, and it just depends on what direction that they go with it. But if it's going to center around Paterno, I don't know necessarily how you do that truthfully or true to real life events, because I really don't know how much we know other than the fact that he didn't really lift a finger to help rectify the situation. He just kicked the can down the road.
I think that's mostly what it's going to be about. And is this going to be a somewhat of an autobiography, or not an autobiography, but a biography in movie form about strictly Joe Paterno?
I think it has more to do with the events at Penn State than it does his 409 wins, which people were so worked up about him getting back, which he has. Now, Luke and Marion has hit a home run as far as
so is another 3530.
Doppelganger. Stone Cold Steve Austin, the former WWE wrestler, as strength and conditioning coach Chris Doyle.
And Kyle.
Do I want to check out
3530.
Now, okay, we've got a Kyle now, so we've got a problem. We've got a Kyle here in the building, so he's going to have to be 3530, and I hope that he is, like, he's our very own Scott Schulte. Could play Kirk Ference. Scott Schulte from Just Schulte and Claire in the Morning on Z102.9.
If there was a movie about Joe Madden, Scott Schulte should be the actor. The resemblance is striking, especially when Scott Schulte puts on glasses.
I don't think this is a topic that a movie should be made about. I don't know whether that's a reference to Penn State or a reference to Iowa football.
Or both.
My guess would be Iowa football. And no, I'm not buying a ticket to that movie because I've lived it for the last 19 years. But we went down that road. Pacino as Paterno. And I think if I haven't told the story, have I told, do you remember me telling the story about Mike Halas giving away his media gift at the Capital One Bowl?
I don't think we've heard this one.
I can't remember whether I've told this or not, but Mike Halas of the Cedar Rapids Gazette has a tradition where when we go to bowl games, they like to give the media something. And it's usually not anything elaborate. Sometimes it's as silly as a pen, which was the 2001 Alamo Bowl. Not that I'm keeping score. But there are other times you get a nice duffel bag or the Insight Bowl a couple years ago. It was a pair of Fossil sunglasses, which I still used until they got really scratched up. And the Capital One Bowl gave us this leather, I can't call it a satchel because it was much bigger than that, but it was sort of like a travel bag, where a day bag.
Somewhere between a duffel bag and a satchel.
Right, and basically, I guess the best way to describe it would be a bag that you would take for like a one-day trip where maybe if you needed to put a sport coat or something in it, you could fold it up and put it in the... It's cumbersome, kind of large, and it was leather. And it had the logo embroidered on it. I still occasionally use mine because I take a lot of day trips or short trips where it's the perfect size for clothes. But Mike likes to give his gift away to random people. And it's become a little bit of a tradition. And when we were at the Capital One Bowl, we rolled up in front of a business that, if I recall correctly, it was either an auto detailing business or it was a chop shop that was meant to look like a legitimate business. But there was a rather large gentleman in front of said chop shop who was wearing a Scarface t-shirt with Al Pacino on it. And Mike rolled down the window and yelled to said gentleman, "Hey, Pacino."
Oh, no.
And
how
this
large
guy,
is this human being?
Are you familiar with Breaking Bad?
Yes.
And do you remember the character of Huel?
Yes.
Okay. He was a little smaller than Huel on Breaking Bad. And Better Call Saul. We saw Huel make a return this season. Hey, Pacino. And the guy comes over and he winds up giving him the bag. And it remains to this day one of my favorite bowl memories because didn't quite know what the reaction was going to be.
What was the reaction?
I believe, and I won't go into too much detail here, but to quote the gentleman, I believe his reaction was, "Yo, dog, is this real leather?"
Wait a second.
He unzipped it and then gave it the "is this leather" sniff.
So you've come across two "yo dog, is this" moments in your life, because wasn't there a D. Brown moment like that?
Yeah, D. Brown asked Bob Brooks, "Yo dog, is that a VCR?"
Which is crazy because before I even asked you what the reaction was, that was the first thing that popped up in my mind. I figured that reaction was going to be similar to exactly what you just laid out.
And I like to imagine that somewhere in Orlando, Florida, Pacino is still using his Capital One bag.
Pacino.
Hey, Pacino. And I'm in the back seat going, "What's he doing? What's he doing? Can the light turn green?" Mike, if you're listening, you can either be mad that I told that story or you can be glad that it's now part of the public record. So many of my stories from bowl trips involve Mike Halas. And I hope people in Cedar Rapids appreciate him as a columnist because he's terrific and we're lucky to have him here in this market. He's a very good writer. And there have been some moments through the years. 5:23, we're going to step aside, take a quick break. Kyle Mann will rejoin us in the studio for a recitation of the next Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Iowa baseball coach Rick Heller. You will hear from him coming up at the bottom of the hour. And then at 6 o'clock tonight, it's the unofficial, official debut of the Wheel of Desperation. You're listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM. Back with more after this.
Take Friday off and go watch the Cubs at Wrigley. Hop on a comfy Windstar motor coach at 7 a.m. in Cedar Rapids and get to Wrigleyville in plenty of time for the first pitch against the Rockies at 1:20. Enjoy a great game in the friendly confines and get back to see Round 11 that night. Life's short. Go see the Cubs Friday. Game tickets and transportation included for just $150 per person. Call Marita Frazee at 319-804-8890 to reserve your spot now. See the Cubs play Friday. Call 319-804-8890.
The ball explodes off your club face like a rocket. It flies across the beautiful blue sky and nestles right next to the pin. That's what keeps us all coming back. Hey folks, Dave Austed here. Hardly any of us are going to make the pro tour, but we always have that itch to play because of that one shot. At Austed's Golf, we love the game as much as you do. Golf Digest just selected Austed's Golf one of the top fitters in the nation. Find out why. Go online at austeds.com or visit your local Austed's to schedule your personal club fitting. Your one shot is waiting. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
What are you doing, Dave? We need help with payroll.
I'm doing squats, Mr. Employee of the Month. I'm taking your advice and I'm working my butt off.
That's not what I meant.
Glutes of steel. Feel them. Right here.
Oh, Dave, now I have to call HR.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
What is the old quote? Someday you eat the bear, and someday the bear eats you. 526, welcome back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Iowa baseball coach Rick Heller caught up with us earlier today. You're going to be able to hear from him at the bottom of the hour. Iowa is not done playing baseball this year. The Hawkeyes are part of the World University Games. They're going to be heading to Taiwan in the next couple months. And that schedule was actually released today. Our good friend James Allen over at Carver Hawkeye Arena emailing it out. The Hawkeyes will take on Mexico in Taiwan August 20th. At 5:30 a.m. Central Time. If those games are available on TV, I will not be awake.
That makes two of us.
Although, now that I do have a son who occasionally wakes up early, but even 5:30 is a little too early for him. The remaining schedule, Iowa is basically Team USA in the World University Games. Kansas basketball has participated in this in the past. They've asked college teams, and Rick Heller last year said, yeah, sure, we'll do this. The Hawkeyes will take on Mexico August 20th. Here's a game of international intrigue, August 22nd. The U.S. faces Russia.
Oh, no.
And if I'm Rick Heller or Marty Sutherland or Scott Brickman, I'm probably trying to figure out how to encrypt my laptop a little bit at this point. Japan is the third and final game on the schedule, August 23rd. And then once August 25th rolls around, they start playing the real deal as far as figuring out who's going to win medals. They are limited to taking 22 players with them to Korea. So you will hear Rick talking a little bit about the World University Games. And they also are going to Wichita, Kansas this year for the National Baseball Congress, which is something that I was unaware of. Not the existence of the NBC, but they were given an automatic spot by virtue of being the Team USA representative in the World University Games. So there's a lot more baseball left to be played for the Iowa Hawkeyes. At 5:28, we bring our new producer, Kyle Mann, into the studio. Time now for another Midwest One Bank Big Board Update.
The Cedar Rapids Colonels will kick off a three-game road series with the Clinton Lumber Kings tonight at 6:30. The Colonels come into today's game having won four of their last five and sitting atop the Midwest League's Western Division at 33-24. The Bees find themselves in last and 10.5 games back with a record just 21-33. The Colonels will have right-hander Tyler Wells on the mound while Clinton will throw out Nick Wells. We know the Iowa football team would begin its season at home versus Wyoming, but now we know when. That September 2nd matchup will kick off at 11 o'clock and be televised on the Big Ten Network. the Iowa City West women defeated Cedar Rapids Prairie last night 4-1 to advance to the girls' state soccer tournament. The women of Troy finished their regular season 17-1 and will now look to avenge a loss to Ankeny Centennial in last year's championship game. Cedar Rapids native Scott Shebler has missed the last two games for his Cincinnati Reds due to a shoulder strain, but said he felt great Monday evening and is expected to be back in the lineup Tuesday night against the Cardinals. Despite missing time, Shebler remains tied for the National League lead with 16 home runs. There's news in the Big Ten today out of Lansing as three Michigan State football players will be arrested and charged with sexual assault stemming from an on-campus incident in January. Josh King, Donnie Corley, and Demetric Vance, all true freshmen, were dismissed from the program this morning. You can catch the Minnesota Twins tonight as they start a series in Seattle with the Mariners. First pitch is set for 8:10, and you can hear that right here on 107.5 FM, The North Gym.
I have all of my bowl gifts.
You keep them all?
With the exception, I lost the Alamo Bowl pen, which...
Pens are made to lose.
It was not a very good pen, and it wasn't a very good bowl game. It was my first bowl game, and they say that you always remember your first, and I will never forget. We flew out Christmas morning for the Alamo Bowl.
Was that the lamest bowl gift you ever received?
The pen.
Yeah, the pen.
I'm trying to remember. There was one year recently where we didn't get anything, and I was fine with that because that's the entitled liberal media that everybody talks about all the time. You sports writers, and you're getting gifts and all of that. Well, okay. But anything that's practical. The very first time Iowa went to the Outback Bowl in 2003, they gave a leather travel kit, like a shaving kit. And that thing has held up. I still use it. And it's got the original Outback Bowl logo on it, which if people remember it, it's hideous. It's got all those, it's pink and purple and orange. And yeah, that thing has lasted more than.
Well, what was in it? Just shaving cream?
Just the bag.
Just the bag.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's an Orange Bowl duffel bag that I still use. It's got the FedEx Orange Bowl logo on it.
You would have to think that the BCS bowls would give out better gifts, right?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. The Rose Bowl was a t-shirt. And the cooler bag.
The cooler bag.
You got a cooler bag and a t-shirt. It was a Nike dry fit, which didn't really fit me. So I had to give it to somebody else, but they got to benefit from it.
So we always hear about the bowl gifts that the players get. You never hear about the bowl gifts that the media gets until right now.
Yeah, this is just cutting edge radio here on a Tuesday, isn't it?
Well, when is the Wheel of Desperation? That's cutting edge radio.
That is cutting edge radio. It's coming up at 6:00. Iowa baseball coach Rick Heller is on the way at the bottom of the hour. Don't go anywhere. Back with more after this.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 12 years of service.
Hi, this is Steve Anderson with Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services. For a while now, you've heard me proclaim my obsession with our beloved Hawkeyes. But my Hawkeye obsession pales in comparison to our obsession with providing you efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services. Whether you're buying or selling commercial property or buying your first home. Sure, we love our Hawkeyes, but helping you is our passion. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City and HawkeyeTitle.com. The team you love, the people you trust.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. At this hour, the Cavaliers find themselves in a familiar spot as they get ready to host the Warriors in Game 3 of the NBA Finals, down 2-0. Cleveland, of course, rallied from 2-0 and 3-1 deficits last year versus Golden State. But these finals are a different challenge, notes Kyrie Irving.
The realization that you're in a new moment, a new journey with some new guys in a new collective group. So you don't understand that it has to be different things done in order to be successful in this series.
J.R. Smith with a combined 3 points on 1-of-6 shooting, 2 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 steals, and 0 blocks so far, will remain the Cavs' starting shooting guard, according to coach Tyronn Lue. Lue also said the Cavaliers will play with a frenetic pace even though they've been outscored 245 to 204 in the series. Golden State and Cleveland, Game 3, NBA Finals tomorrow, 8 Eastern, ABC, and ESPN Radio. NFL, the Jets released veteran linebacker David Harris. The Jets will also be parting ways with receiver Eric Decker. They've informed him they'll release him or trade him this week, reports ESPN's Adam Schefter.
Brought to you by Toyota. Introducing the first-ever Toyota CHR, a stylish crossover with car-like handling. It's the perfect vehicle to flip the script. Toyota, let's go places.
Right now at the Home Depot, save 20% with bulk pricing on Owens Corning Oak Ridge shingles and 30% with bulk pricing on insulation. That'll bring that roofing project down within reach. And that insulation project, you'll be covered. If you're ready to start, now you know where. Get bulk pricing on shingles and insulation only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. See store for details and minimum purchase quantities. Selection varies by store.
Greeny, you know how to win at business?
Tell me how.
Show up early for meetings. That way everybody who's only on time looks like slackers.
Well, I got a better way to win at business.
What's that?
Instant free nights at La Quinta Inns and Suites. You can show up with no advance reservation and redeem your La Quinta Returns loyalty points for a free night that same night just by using the La Quinta app.
I feel like I'd win at business more than you.
I'd cream you at business.
Impossible. I'm undefeated at business.
Go to LQ.com now and prepare to win at business.
Too tight, too dated. What do I wear with this?
I'm telling you, honey. Trunk Club curates outfits based on your personal style and sends them right to our door.
So I don't have to stare at the closet every day and feel defeated?
Exactly. And Trunk Club is a Nordstrom company, so your stylist helps you find your perfect look and you get quality brands.
Oh, I like that.
Then stop staring and get back to doing what you love.
Golfing.
Antiquing.
Yeah, antiquing, right.
Love what you wear. Visit trunkclub.com/ESPN and we'll help you make sense of style.
At Firestone Complete Auto Care, our 4,000 ASC certified technicians have the state-of-the-art tools to keep your car running newer, longer. Because when your car is running right, so are you. Take advantage of the Bonus Savings Day summer event and get $100 off any purchase of $500 or more. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Offer valid June 8th through June 11th on any purchase. Exclusions may apply. In-store installation required. Maximum savings $100. $50 minimum purchase required for tiered offer. See store or drivafirestone.com for full details.
Welcome back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on KGYM, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and all across eastern Iowa on the historic Main Gym, 1600 AM. We've been talking about them for the last couple days here on the program, the Iowa baseball team season finally coming to an end in Houston at the NCAA Regionals. A fun run kind of started during that Ohio State series with the walk-off home run, and they just took the momentum with them to Bloomington and then to Houston. But joining us on the program for the final time this season is Hawkeye coach Rick Heller. Rick, have you caught your breath yet?
No, I really haven't. And it was obviously a long, stressful weekend, and followed by a tough stretch. I mean, all fun stuff, but I mean, it's a lot of work. We sat in the dugout, you know, Sunday for 8 hours before we played, and you know, night games, late games, getting up early, all that stuff. I mean, it wears on you. But you know, it was a heck of a fun run, and you know, I guess we all walked out of that feeling like if we could have found a way to beat Texas A&M in the one run loss when we felt like we outplayed them. You know, they basically rested all day Sunday, and then was sitting in a great situation, had to play a team that we battled until the middle of the night, and they had to get up early and play again the next day, that we probably would be going to a super regional. And that's what I really hope that the guys coming back next year saw that, felt that, and really took that away, that we're right there. I mean, we are right there, and hopefully that motivates them to get back next season.
At what point, and maybe you already have done so, but do you allow yourself time to sit back and digest everything that took place over the last month?
Well, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where that's really what all of us would love to do at this point. But, you know, we're doing player meetings today, exit interviews, trying to make sure all of our guys are set for summer. You know, we're getting ready to go to Taiwan. We're week or week and a half behind the rest of the people that didn't go to a regional and are recruiting. And, we've got to get out and see kids. So there really isn't a downtime this summer where you get a chance to just chill out for a week and really reflect on it. You got to do it on the side when you're driving or when you're at home, before you go to bed at night. But this time of the year, unfortunately, is about as busy a time of year as there is for us right when you're finishing the season where you want to sit back and reflect.
Coach, you talk about hoping that the returning players on this team for next year kind of feel the sting of what happened in that regional in the second game especially. Do you think that this team, the returning players from last year, felt the sting of losing in that final game in the Big Ten tournament last year, and that helped motivate them to get over the hump this year?
Well, I think that it did. I also believe that this team was their own team, and we were together, since August 22nd and really built a great camaraderie and chemistry, whatever you want to say, with that group to give them a chance. Because, let's face it, to win a tournament like that, an 18 double elimination tournament, I mean, every team's playing for their life. Every team is really good. I mean, things have to go right. You have to play great. And then sometimes if you do play great, you have to get lucky and the ball has to bounce your way, or you have to get the right call from the umpire. And so it's not something that you can just say, okay, we're going to count on winning the Big Ten tournament every year. And as we went 37 years without winning one. So, it don't happen every day. And we are going to appreciate that because they don't happen that often. What we have to do and what we have to take from this is that we need to take care of our business every single day. So when we go into the Big Ten tournament, we know if we play hard and play our best, and if we don't win, we're still going to a regional because we were one of the four or five teams in our league that's going to get an at-large bid. That's what we have to do. And then I feel like the way we run our program, whenever we're in a tournament, we're going to give ourselves a chance to win it if all those things happen, if the ball bounces our way, because our kids are going to play hard and they're going to compete every day. But, to count on that to get to the regional is something we really don't want to do.
Iowa baseball coach Rick Heller joining us here on the program. What was the atmosphere like in Houston? It looked great on TV.
It was a great atmosphere. It was a very, very rough crowd. Doing this as long as I have for 30 years, college baseball in the 90s and their mid to late 2000s, it was rough to go anywhere. Lots of heckling, lots of derogatory comments. And then about 2007-08, the NCAA really started trying to police it, had more security administration at the ballpark. So you really kind of have gotten spoiled here the last 10 years or so. I hadn't been heckled, and I can't tell you when. It's probably since Wichita State back in the mid-2000s, but that's what it felt like. It felt like we went back in time because that crowd was rough. I mean, they were rough, saying rough things, but it was a great environment. I mean, to play the host team twice in Houston at their park, it was no walk in the park, I'll tell you guys that, but our kids handled it extremely well.
How did you keep the guys grounded after they won that first game?
I really didn't have to, because we had prepared, Big Ten tournament heading into this tournament, and then we played those early tournaments, down in Florida and at Hoover, and we started preparing for the regionals way back then, because you got to win the first two games. I mean, that's the big thing, and that's where I'm just sitting here, and what's going to torture me until the first pitch of next season is that, how did we not get that game against A&M? We have one bad inning, give up a three-run homer. We had several opportunities. We out-hit them. We beat arms that were up to 99. I mean, the kid that came in the eighth and the ninth was 96 to 99 every pitch with an 88 slider. And we competed against that guy just like any of the other guys. We just didn't score, enough runs to win. So that was going to haunt us for a while, but our kids were ready. Our kids were prepared. We were in a great setup. We knew we had Nick Gallagher, our normal number one, going on game two. Everything lined up for us. We just didn't get that game. We only had two free bases in that game, and we lost. And unfortunately, you guys know this, that's the game. That's baseball. Sometimes you can play your best and lose, and that was unfortunate that we did that night.
Coach, a lot is made about the difference between North and South college baseball, and I think that the biggest thing that people were talking about was the pitching staffs of the three teams in the regional, and then yours. How did you feel like your, for the most part, how did you feel like your pitching staff held up against Texas A&M and Houston?
Well, they definitely held up because we pitched, and Coach Brickman did an amazing job with our group, and our guys really stepped up and they improved. But they had more just flat-out raw arms. I mean, A&M staff was just stupid. I mean, there wasn't a guy on their team that – there wasn't, you know, 15 pitchers on their staff. The scouting report was basically 92 to 98 on every one of them. And, you know, we don't have a stable of arms like that, and we probably never are going to. Our guys, you know, we do have our share of hard throwers when everybody's healthy, and you guys have known this since the beginning. I mean, that was the thing that made this year so special was how many pitchers we were down. I mean, if we had had all those guys, we would have matched up a lot better. We would have been a lot deeper. We just, our margin of error in the regional was slim to none, but we managed that. I mean, we were prepared. We had pitchers left. If we would have won against Houston in the loser's bracket, I thought we managed things about as well as we could, but you know, Houston really, really pitches it. A&M, their arms are just ridiculous. I mean, they have, you know, first, that kid we faced was the first, he's going to be a first round draft pick. So is the kid that came in relief. You know what I mean? It's just arm after arm after arm. They just keep just throwing guys out there that are elite level pitchers.
Iowa baseball coach Rick Heller with us on the program. You alluded to it a little bit earlier, sitting in the dugout for 8-plus hours on Sunday, that 5.5-hour weather delay. I imagine that was a unique challenge. You've already got the pressure of facing elimination, and then the players and the coaching staff, you guys had to deal with that as well.
Yeah, that was tough. I mean, that was the longest rain delay I've ever been a part of, where they didn't send you back to the hotel. And, you know, in hindsight, I think the crew would have done that. The way the weather was, they weren't sure when it was going to move, when it was going to leave, and obviously they missed with the prospects of two games that day. They didn't want us to be back at the hotel when the weather broke and they couldn't go. But you know, in hindsight, it was awful because I mean, I don't know if you've ever sat on a wooden bench in a dugout for 8.5 hours with nothing going on. It wasn't much fun, and it was hot and humid. And you know, our guys dealt with it though, and we gave a great performance, but. What it did was I pretty much knew Houston was going to be toast that next day because that was a long, long day. I mean, we went through full batting practice, full infield, all that stuff had happened. I mean, they didn't bang it until 10 minutes before the start of the game time. And so you'd already prepared, you'd already worked, and then boom, then you had to sit, you know, like you said, 5.5 hours after that and then go out and play. And then we got back to the hotel at 12:35. Was what time we got back, and then Houston had to, you know, try to get to sleep and be back to the ballpark at probably 9 o'clock the next morning. And so if we would have won that game against A&M, that's what I said. You know, they were sitting in the absolute best situation that, you know, ever. They had a complete day off, able to recover and then get up and not be rushed and have a really great opportunity to win that game yesterday, which they did.
I am very familiar with what it's like to sit on a wooden bench in a baseball dugout. I did a lot of it during my high school career. Did you bring yourself to watch that game yesterday, Texas A&M beating Houston?
No, we did not because we flew. That was our flight time. We were in the air while they were playing, so we didn't get a chance to watch it.
Now, Coach, let me first ask you: was there an estimated distance on Jake Adams' eighth inning home run?
Well, I would tell you this. You know, this is all I had. You can pull it up on Google Earth, and you'll see two sets of trees. Look at the second set of trees, and it cleared the second set of trees, and it had to have landed in the McDonald's parking lot. And so you can pull it up and look at it. The one he hit in the Big Ten tournament, a friend of ours who's the ops director at Indiana sent us a picture. They knew where that ball landed because the camera had it. So they went out and measured it from the fence to where it landed, and that ball was 499. And I would tell you that this ball was quite a bit further. This was the longest one I'd seen him hit this year.
Where does this season from him rank among special seasons from players you've coached?
Well, it ranks number one, and he passed Ryan Bruner at Northern Iowa, who had, you know, in my career the best season as an offensive player that I'd ever seen, and really they're very close. Ryan, I think, hit 26 home runs, but the cool thing about Ryan in 2001 Ryan hit 26 home runs and he only struck out 24 times. He hit more home runs than he struck out in the season. And to me, that's crazy. That's impressive. And I think Ryan hit close to 380 with over 80 RBIs, and he also, I think he had 18 or 19 doubles. So, you know, his All-American year in 2001 was absolutely incredible. And then, you know, in the modern era with the new bats, the BB Corp bats, you know, Jake's to me is even more impressive. And, you know, to hit 29, you know, he's going to go down in history as, you know, the greatest slugger, you know, in Big Ten history to this point. And I think that's going to last for a long, 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 long time.
Ryan Bruner, the Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Year back in 2001, seems like quite a long time ago. Okay, the Major League Baseball draft is right around the corner. You got a couple guys who appeared on Baseball America's top 500 list that was released the other day. No surprise there. It's Jake Adams and Nick Gallagher. What is this time of year like for a Division I coach that's facing guys with a uncertain draft future?
Well, I mean, with Jake and Nick, now, you know, Nick we knew was the potential was going to be there from day one. With Jake, you know, in the fall, you know, who knows? I mean, you're just finding out about him, learning about him. But, you know, it was pretty apparent by Christmas that we were probably going to have a chance to lose Jake. You know, I mean, it's tough because, I mean, obviously, if you lose Jake next year, that's a pretty big blow for any program. And it's one you're not going to just run out and find some guy here this summer that's going to replace him. And, you know, it's tough. And then the other side that you guys didn't bring up are the recruits that we have out there that, you know, we're nervous about that we could possibly lose. Those would probably even hurt us more because they're the guys we're bringing in to take the place of the guys that we're losing. So if you lose both of those, that's the thing the normal baseball fan doesn't understand. I mean, you can have a down year just because of the draft and you have no control over it. There's absolutely nothing you can do as a coach to be ready for that if your some of your recruits sign and then obviously if some of your juniors sign.
That's a great point, and I've never really thought about that, but football and basketball don't have to worry about that. When those guys are signed, you pretty much know they're getting to campus, but it's a double-edged sword for baseball.
Oh, definitely. You look at, you know, Malik Ziegler signed with the Giants last year when we thought he was coming to school. Just think if we would have had Malik Ziegler on this team. Malik was, you know, he would have been the fastest player in the Big Ten, and not only is he fast, he hit 20-plus home runs last year in junior college, so throw him into that lineup. And it would have been pretty scary.
All right, so the World University Games in Taiwan, you alluded to this earlier in the interview today, they are on tap. What's the off-season look like for you? When do you guys get back and get preparing for that?
Well, it's going to be a hodgepodge. You know, some players are going to go out and play the month of June in the Summer League, and they'll come back and start training for the World Games in July. The kids who are beat up, like a Tyler Cropley, who had to catch so many innings, Tyler's just going to stay in Iowa City. And his training is going to start, you know, basically this week. I mean, he's just going to try to get his body back in shape, get his weight back on, and recover from all the catching he had to do. And he probably won't play a whole lot of games this summer. He's just going to train and get himself back in shape. There will be a mix of guys who are doing that. You know, some guys are coming back right away. We've got recruits coming in that are going to start training in June. We've got others who are coming back in July. You know, and that's probably a good reason for you guys. Maybe we should talk again at the end of June because we'll have a lot more feel on who's going. It's only a 22-man roster, and we're trying to figure out, you know, who's going to be able to go, if the pro teams are going to let them, you know, jump from the minor leagues back to us to go to Taiwan to represent the U.S. So, you know, there's a lot of questions out there that I can't even give you an answer. And quite frankly, you know, with our run, I haven't been able to put a lot of time and effort into the preparation for that. You know, as much as I could, I did. But now we're going to, you know, turn the tables and we're going to start getting ready to get the roster figured out and who's going to go and get our training going and all those types of things. We are in the first week of August. We're going to go to the National Baseball Congress, the NBC. Tournament in Wichita. They were kind enough to call me when they found out we were going to Taiwan and said they would give us an automatic bid to the championship round of their tournament so our kids could play a tournament together to get ready before we go to Taiwan. So we will be doing that. And then I'm going to try to schedule some games here at home versus like local town teams or all-star teams in late July so that we can get a few games and do a couple fundraisers with preparatory games before we head to Taiwan. So a lot going on this summer with that.
Oh, well, we were going to give you a pass until fall ball, but if you want to come back on the program, you know you're more than welcome to promote Iowa baseball anytime you want to.
Well, thanks, guys.
Rick Heller, Iowa baseball coach. Congratulations, coach. It was really fun to watch you guys go on the run that you did.
Well, thank you. It was a lot of fun and special group of kids, and thanks to all the support that we had across the state, you guys included, and so many people now pay attention to our program and pay attention to Iowa baseball, and being on TV all those games, it was really, really nice. All the notes and all the people that have sent something and appreciated what the guys did this year. So thanks to everyone.
All right, kick the shoes off, put the feet up, and relax for just a couple seconds before you got to start worrying about Taiwan.
All right, thanks a lot.
And with that, we'll send it over to Kyle Mann with another Midwest One Bank Big Board update.
The Cedar Rapids Colonels will kick off a three-game road series with the Clinton Lumber Kings tonight at 6:30. The Colonels come into today's game having won four of their last five and sitting atop the Midwest League's Western Division at 33-24. The Colonels will have right-hander Tyler Wells on the mound with a 2-0 record and an ERA of 2.37, while Clinton will throw out Nick Wells, who is 1-5 with a 6.7 ERA. We knew the Iowa football team would begin its season at home versus Wyoming, but now we know when. That September 2nd matchup will kick off at 11 a.m. and be televised on the Big Ten Network. Iowa City West defeated Cedar Rapids Prairie last night 4-1 to advance to the Girls State Soccer Tournament. The women of Troy finished their regular season 17-1 and will now look to avenge a loss to Ankeny Centennial in last year's championship game. Cedar Rapids native Scott Shebler will actually miss his third straight game tonight. He said he felt great last night, but manager Brian Price said he wanted one more day of activity before he got him back in the lineup. The Cubs placed Wade Davis on paternity list yesterday, but that only lasted one day. He's going to be back tonight. There's news in the Big Ten today out of Lansing as three Michigan State football players will be arrested and charged with sexual assault. Josh King, Donnie Corley, and Demetri Vance, all true freshmen, were dismissed from the program Tuesday morning. You can catch the Minnesota Twins tonight as they start a series in Seattle with the Mariners. First pitch is set for 8:10, and you can hear that right here on 107.5 FM, The North Gym.
Thank you very much, Kyle. Looking forward to that Twins game tonight. And they're playing some good baseball in the American League West, maybe not necessarily Seattle, which I think is in third place last time that I checked the standings, but the Houston Astros winning for the 11th time in a row last night. It took a home run, a three-run shot from Yulieski Gurriel at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City to pull it off, but the Astros are, I believe, officially this year's Chicago Cubs.
I was talking to one of our coworkers, John Cardos, who was in the sports office at our last break, and he was very excited about the fact that he picked the Houston Astros to win the World Series preseason. There's still a long way to go, but things are looking very good for that team.
I am less than excited about this, but it will be the debut of the Wheel of Desperation coming up to kick off hour number three. The names on the wheel tonight are either actual Major League Baseball draft prospects or they're fictitious Major League Baseball draft prospects. The draft getting underway next week, so Kyle will stick around with us here in the studio. We will spin the Wheel of Desperation as we look to fill a segment in hour number three of the program tonight on June 6th, which is silly season in sports talk radio. More on the way after this.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-342-4000. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-342-4301 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-342-4301 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-342-4301.
When smart businesses need to grow their team, they do it on the site proven to deliver. Indeed.com. According to an independent study, Indeed delivers 5 times more hires than any other job site. More hires than the rest combined. And right now we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job, boosting your listing and relevant search results.